Good morning. It's always good to be here. And look at you guys, so many people. I'm jealous. Today I would like to share with you the mystery of God's wisdom. And the passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. I truly believe that God's words are powerful even when it was being read aloud. Amen. So I would like to invite all of you again to stand up and read this word with conviction and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's do it together. One, two, three. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not However, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as is written, what no eyes has seen, what no ears has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual reality with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and show us the wisdom of God, how we need you today. Father, your words are so powerful. Your words are life-changing. So today we want to listen and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The greatest philosopher have endeavored for centuries to figure out what is the best and the most honorable ways of living. And all of them have agreed that if we are to be successful in life, we must know what it means to be wise. Although the pursuit of wisdom is something to be commended, history tells us that much of humanity has found so-called wisdom without ever finding God. During Paul's time, the Jews and the Greeks were also seeking wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, he said, the Jews demand signs, and the Greeks look for wisdom. However, in the pursuit of signs and wisdom, the Jews and Greeks reject Jesus altogether because they perceive the cross to be offensive. How could a man who was cursed and died on a cross become the hope of the world? Those who seek worldly wisdom consider the cross to be foolish and reject Christ altogether. Yet, God is using this foolishness to accomplish his purpose. Paul said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen? The cross is the power and the wisdom of God to those who are being saved. That's why Paul said in verses 1, he said that when I came to you, I did not come with the eloquence or human wisdom to proclaim Christ. What is the eloquence that Paul talked about? We all know that the Greek people loves philosophy. How many of you love philosophy? Only Eugene. Oh, man. The word philosophy comes from two words, phileo, which means love. Sophia means wisdom. It means philosophy is love, wisdom. They admire a philosopher. Philosopher who can use beautiful vocabulary and their oratory gifts to persuade you. What is philosophy, by the way? Philosophy comes from our human thinking, okay? You have all heard about that line, said, I think, therefore, I am. You can think deep thoughts. I can think deep thoughts. David Cowell can think deep thoughts. And if we disagree on our deep thoughts, we debate. See who is more eloquent. See who has the better logic. I use my logic and my knowledge to defeat you. And that is called the eloquence of speech. Unfortunately, human thinking and wisdom is ever changing. Our faith is not based on human thinking nor worldly wisdom. Our faith is based on God's revelation, his divine wisdom. So you may ask, what is God's wisdom? In verses 6 and 7, Paul mentioned two kinds of wisdom. The first kind of wisdom is the worldly wisdom. He is saying that the worldly wisdom is the wisdom of this age and the wisdom of the rulers. It is about human philosophy. It is about human thinking. It's about the most popular or most prevalent thoughts of our time. In this day and age, we have a lot of worldly wisdom, don't we? Don't we? We are bombarded daily by worldly chatters on like what is important in life. What does it mean to be successful? How do we get there? A lot of how-to. People find wisdom from Amazon. Because Amazon has everything, right? So when I prepare the message, I go to Amazon to get my wisdom. I did a book search. How to become rich. You know how many books out there teaching you how to become rich? Yes? Huh? 1 million? Nah, not that many. 2,000. 2,000 books teach you how to become rich. One book teach you how to retire by 30 years old. How many of you want to retire by 30 years old? Sorry, Mark, you're already past 30 years old. I'm sure a lot of young people want to retire by 30 years old. If you achieve that goal, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? How to live a good life, a long life. Another 2,000 plus books teaching you how to lead a good life, a prosperous life. One book title is called How Not to Die. And this is really funny. So I really want to read this book and tell you, how can I not die? How to be successful? 6,000 books on how to be successful in life, teaching you every step how to be successful, everything that you do. Paul condemns the wisdom of this world, for it is those who live according to the worldly wisdom who despise and reject Jesus Christ. Sadly, the pursuit of worldly wisdom only leads to death and destruction. Paul said that I also speak a message of wisdom, but not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God. What is God's wisdom? Verse 7 said that, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. God's wisdom is a mystery. Mystery does not mean that it's difficult to understand. It just means that it has been hidden. It's like a statue is being covered by a piece of cloth. We do not know the content inside, but once it's unveiled, we know clearly, we see clearly what it's all about. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 said, this mystery was not made known to people in other generation, and it has now been revealed by the Spirit. Secondly, this is destined before time began. It is before the creation of the world. It is before anything even exists. God has already ordained this. Ephesians 1, 4 said that, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Before anything even comes into being, God has already chosen you and me to be his sons and daughters. Think about that. It is mind-boggling. It should move us to tears. God, how can you love me so much? Even before anything exists, you already chose me. And the wisdom of God is for our glory. God's wisdom is about his plan of salvation. This plan has a purpose, and the purpose is for our glory. Romans chapter 8, 30 said that, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. God predestined you, call you, justify you, and will glorify you. And our ultimate destiny is not here on earth. Our ultimate destiny is this new heaven and new earth. And we will have a resurrected body and a glorified body. And we will reign with Christ eternally and share in his glory. That's the purpose of the salvation. Lastly, this God wisdom manifests his love for us. Verses 9 said, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. His plan of salvation manifests his love for you and for me. His unconditional love, his unwavering love, his eternal love. Brother and sister, we live in a world that is full of chaos, confusions, and pain. Lately, we have seen a lot of disaster here and there. We saw the earthquake in Haiti. We saw the crisis in Afghanistan. People holding on to this plane trying to take off, and they fell to their death. We have seen COVID-19 still raging everywhere. We've seen like Southeast Asian countries still struggling with COVID. We heard about news about Vietnam in the seminary, the pastor and student died of this disease. We heard about Christian in Burma, brother and sister in Christ. They're not only facing COVID, they're also facing political unrest and persecutions. Many were hungry without food and supplies. Even in the midst of chaos and crisis, we are not despair. Because Paul said that we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. A man with the wisdom of God does not set his eyes only on things of this world. He knows that God is still enthroned and he has a plan, and his plan is out of his love. His plan is to glorify us one day. And this is the mystery of God's kingdom, wisdom. Today, many religions are also into mystic. Mystery. I have special revelation that you do not know. You come follow me and I will show you. Praise the Lord. God has already revealed his mystery to us. And the greatest mystery is he used the foolishness of the cross as a means of his salvation. And his salvation is not only for the Jewish people, but the entire mankind, both Jews and non-Jews. Hallelujah. The second question is, how is God's wisdom revealed? Verses 10 said that these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Holy Spirit revealed God's wisdom to us. Paul said that what you have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is from God. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not only a power. Holy Spirit is God Himself. Holy Spirit reveals the wisdom of God to us. Verses 11 says that, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Brother and sister, who truly know your thoughts? Yourself. I can only guess. I cannot really know what you're thinking about right now, right? Maybe you're thinking about dim sum afterwards, or maybe the football game this afternoon. How many of you truly understand your wife? No one dared to answer. Huh? When you think you know, you really do not know. I've been married for 30 plus years. I still do not understand my wife. What she's thinking about, what's the logic behind this, and it's totally incomprehensible. It's impossible. Sam, do you know Betty?
Oh, yeah.
Only our own spirit know our own thoughts. Likewise, who know God the most? The Holy Spirit searches all things, including the deep things of God. Holy Spirit is very willing to reveal the things of God to us so that we can grow and mature in Christ. Holy Spirit is like a shining light, bright light shining into our darkest part of our soul. He opens our eyes to see what is foolish to this world, but actually is wisdom of God. He is our counselor. He is our guide. He gives us spiritual discernment. He gives us His anointing. He gives us God's favor. We can only grow in the knowledge and grace of God through the Holy Spirit. Brother and sister, how we desperately need the Holy Spirit. We humans are very limited. Our God is infinite. How can this little brain know this infinite God? No way. Holy Spirit revealed His wisdom to us. And His revelation is not vague. His revelation is not ambiguous. His revelation is actually very clear. He is very willing to reveal God's heart to us. The problem is, do we perceive or receive this revelation from Him? We all want to hear God's voice, right? However, His voice is not like an audible voice to us. Like when Jesus, after His baptism, the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with Him I'm well pleased." Today, if you hear a voice like that, you probably will be very terrified. God's voice is usually through the nudging of the Spirit in our hearts. That's why Paul in verses 13 said that. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual reality with spiritual taught words. We communicate through languages, right? If you want to speak to a Swataoese, you need to speak Swataoese, right? If you want to speak to an Italian, you need to learn Italian. Likewise, if you want to learn the spiritual reality, we have to use the Spirit-taught words. What is Spirit-taught words? What is the language of the Holy Spirit? And how is it? Number one, we need to read His words. Holy Spirit is the real author of the Bible. Someone even said that the Bible actually is the book of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3 said that all Scripture is God-breathed. The breath of God inspired the biblical writer to write different books of the Bible. So when you're reading the book, you need to ask the author, "Holy Spirit, illuminate your truth to me. I know your words are powerful. Your words are life-changing. Give me discernment and wisdom to understand your words today. Secondly, you need to memorize his words. Tell the one next to you, memorize his word. Memorize his words. Memorize God's word actually is one of the most fruitful and powerful spiritual discipline you can practice. Recently, I read a story about an old professor, 80 plus years old, pastor who is still teaching in a Bible school. His students are very impressed by him because when he teaches the class, he does not need notes. He can recite scripture from memory. It is believed that he can recite the entire New Testament. How many can recite the entire New Testament? Pastor Ted, can you recite the entire New Testament? How can he do it? He said he would pick up a paragraph and he would read it over 50 times, 50, okay? After reading again and again, he would commit it to memory. And then he would recite the same paragraph at least 25 times until he gets it. And he records his dictation into like a recording device, like an iPhone, whatever, and play it back while he was driving and walking. Brother and sister, when we memorize God's words, his thoughts fill our minds, our soul, and our spirit. It's like a recording that can be played back anytime. It will transform our lives. It will transform our prayer life. It will give us courage to share the gospel. It will change our attitudes towards life. It will build our faith and give us power to resist temptation every day. Memorizing God's word helps us to discern God's voice. Thirdly, we need to be still and wait before God. In this day and age, it's very hard for us to be still and wait before God. But every time when we spend time with him, quiet our soul before him, he will speak to us, speak to our innermost being. And in this quiet moment, he will meet with us and give us this inner knowing. Fourthly, we need to stay away from ungodly influences. Every day, our mind and our thought lives are bombarded by ungodly influences from social media, from anti-God culture, from music, from TV, from movie. And if we let all these things fill our mind, we will be filled with a sense of insecurity, doubt, fear, worldly logic, worldly thinking and priority. We have to keep our mind pure so that we can discern the perfect will of God. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 12 said that do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Lastly, you need to obey and do his word. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we do not only listen, we have to obey and do it. And the more we obey his prompting, the more we will experience his fullness. A few weeks ago, Amy and I tried out a new restaurant recommended by Yelp. But when we arrived, there was no one there. And this restaurant has a 5-star rating. So the lesson I learned is that don't believe everything that Yelp said, okay? When you go to an empty restaurant, it's not a good sign, right? So my first reaction is that, okay, let's go. But then I felt like there's a Holy Spirit prompting me to say, hey, no, you stay. So then we stay, and then the restaurant owner came out to welcome us and serve us, and then he told his story. He said he has been a chef for many years, and now I want to have my own business. So he started this restaurant about 8 months ago, and the business has been so-so. So after the meal, I felt the Holy Spirit was prompting me to pray for him. So I said, do you mind if I pray for you and your business? So he immediately kneeled down, and his hand was up. I was shocked. I said, no, please stand up. So I prayed for his restaurant. I prayed for God's presence in the restaurant so that when people walk in, they will sense his presence. I pray that those who drive by or walk by will notice this place and come here. I pray for his family to know God, that God will pour his blessing over them. After prayer, he was so thankful. He treated me like his long-lost cousin. A few weeks ago, another incident, I found out that there was water damage on my roof. Okay, so I asked a few roofers to come to give me an estimate. And one of the roofers came, and then we engaged in some chit-chat, and I asked, how are you doing? And then he replied, it has been a very crazy week. Later, I found out that his wife has been battling cancer and has been hospitalized because of some violent reaction to chemotherapy. So I said, can I pray for you? He said, sure. So I lay hand on him and pray for the peace of God to fill his wife's heart in the hospital. I declare that Jesus is her ultimate healer, and there's nothing that can separate her from his love. As I pray, I can visibly see that he was moved by the Spirit and his tears just running down. 61 years old River encountered God. A few days later, he gave me the best quote to fix my roof. It's almost 50% off. From all other quotes, lowest, 50% off. So that's a side benefit of praying for people, okay? Brothers and sisters, every day God can use you to bring hope and healing to people around you. Just listen, obey the Holy Spirit promptings. Lastly, who can have the wisdom of God? Paul talked about two types of people. The first type of person is the person without the Spirit. Verses 14 said, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person without the Spirit actually is very sad. Actually, it's very scary. The person without the Spirit. They cannot discern spiritual realities and wisdom. They follow their own flesh. Their flesh dictates their lives. We live in a postmodern world in which human thinking and value system is very anti-God. The wisdom of this world is without God. The worldly wisdom is very egotistic, it's very self-centered. It's about me, me, and me. I'm my own boss. I have the right to do everything that I please. No one can tell me what to do and what not to do. Everyone has unrestrained freedom. We have seen a lot of sexual confusion in our society nowadays. It's my body. I can do whatever I please. I can use it any way I want. Sexual identity is fruit. If I want to be a boy, I become a boy. If I want to be a girl, I become a girl. The person without the Holy Spirit cannot discern the wisdom of God. They live according to the desires of their own flesh. This is very scary. Desires of the flesh are actually animal instincts. I love Discovery Channel. How many of you would like to watch Discovery Channel? I love the wicked tuna. Even though I've never caught a tuna, but I love seeing them catching tuna. See a lot of animals program. Animals do three things all day. Number one, eat. Looking for food. Number two, make sure you're not eaten. Escape. Number three, mating. Those are animal instincts. The person without the Spirit only know how to satisfy the desires of their own flesh. James chapter 3 talk about it will only lead to jealousy and quarreling among them. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Paul also talked about the person with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we are a spiritual being with a physical body. We are not a physical being with a spirit. It's totally different. Be a spiritual man and woman. The person with the Spirit is the person who belongs to the Holy Spirit. He is ruled and reigned by the Holy Spirit. He follows and obeys the Holy Spirit. Paul here talks about three characteristics of a spiritual man, verses 15 and verses 16. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to the merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Number one, make judgment about all things. Sometimes we misinterpret this verse saying that all things mean, oh, when I have the Holy Spirit, I know everything. I don't have to learn or study anymore. Let's say if you are a student, you have an exam coming up tomorrow. The night before, instead of reviewing your subject matter, you say, let's read the scripture. Let's pray all night. And then when you show up in the morning at the exam and you try to ace the physics test, no. Do not tempt the Lord. Do not interpret scripture according to your own wish. All things refer to God's plan of salvation that has been ordained before the creation of time for our glory. All things mean we can discern the root cause of all things and act according to the words and the will of God. Let's say a couple is struggling with their marriage. They did not examine their own thoughts or examine themselves and try to change the behavior. Instead, they serve fervently in the church, try to do a lot of spiritual things, and say, God, I have done all these things. Please save my marriage. It's impossible. In order to improve your marital relationship, you have to follow and obey God's blueprint for marriage. When the husband loves the wife, when the wife submits to the husband, respect one another under the lordship of Christ, forgive one another, and the marriage will improve. That's why in Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 11 said, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Brothers and sisters, we live in this world where we do not follow the worldly thinking and wisdom. We follow the Spirit of God, his wisdom, his guidance. We discern his will for our lives so that we may bear fruit and grow in the knowledge of God. Secondly, a spiritual man does not subject to human judgment. The people in this world cannot understand us. Why? Why? Why Christians behave like this? Why Christians are so stupid? When they have money to make, they are willing to give up. I know a restaurant owner, because of the fear of the Lord, they chose not to open on Sundays, because Sunday is the day of worship. For years, they closed on Sundays. God really honors their hearts. Not only that the business is doing well, they are opening a few more restaurants down the road. Christians so stupid, they're willing to give up their career and a bright future to serve the Lord. I still remember a few years ago when Wayne Chan came here, I was very touched by his testimony. Leaving behind everything and bring the two young daughters and wife and go to Papua New Guinea. Who would want to go to Papua New Guinea? Teaching them Bible stories and establishing church among the natives. I was very moved when he shared a story about growing up in his hometown. He said that whenever there's a young man who got admitted to a good university, the people will celebrate with firecrackers. And he's asking, what if a young man decides to give up this opportunity and go serve the Lord? Would people even care? Would they still celebrate with firecrackers? People will say, why are you so stupid? A spiritual man is not subject to human judgment. The world does not understand that we have been renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said, my message and my preaching to you were not with wise and persuasive word, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We often associate the power of the Holy Spirit with casting out demons and healings and manifestation of the spiritual gifts. No. The power of the Holy Spirit is about life transformation. No one can understand you because you submit to God in your humility. We are not transformed through our spiritual acts or good behavior. We are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Lastly, Paul said the spiritual man has the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is about gentleness and meekness. The mind of Christ is not self-seeking or self-centered. The mind of Christ sees the needs of this fallen world, poor or rich, educated or illiterate, the elite or the downcast. We all need Jesus. And before the cross, everyone is equal. It completely destroys our own self-centeredness. A spiritual man realizes everything is God's grace to us through Jesus Christ on the cross. Through Christ, we are redeemed, saved, justified, sanctified, and we will be one day glorified. A spiritual man has the mind of Christ. He's not self-seeking, not self-centered. A spiritual man lives by the Holy Spirit. He can discern the wisdom of God. May the word of God speak to us today. Let's sing a response song.
We don't want to listen to the world's wisdom anymore. God, we want your wisdom. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of living God, we only want to hear your voice, hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more, we're hanging on every God, we want to know you more and more.
When you move, you move us to tears. And when you move, you move all our fears. And when you
that you are here. Spirit of the living God, we know that you are in this room. And so God, as we come before you today, we know that you're a spirit who desires to reveal your wisdom to your people today. God, we surrender our human intellect. We surrender our know-how. We surrender our education. Our experiences, Lord, we surrender everything before you. And Spirit, we ask, Lord, that you would reveal your mysteries to us. Lord, whatever it is that we are going through that needs wisdom, would you come and would you speak to us? Lord, would your words be on our mind? Would we read your word? Would we study your word? Would we memorize and be thinking of your words? Jesus, would you come? Spirit, meet us here today. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We ask, Lord, that you would transform our hearts, transform our lives, transform, Lord, the way we think, and give us that wisdom. Brothers and sisters, whatever it is that you may need wisdom for, the Lord promises that if we ask him, he will grant it to us. So I want to invite you even right now that you would just say a quick prayer. Whatever it is that you need wisdom from the Lord for, that you would ask him, that you would allow him to come into that situation, that you would allow him, that you would surrender that situation to him, and that the Lord would be giving you his insights, his divine wisdom, and that he would have a special word for you even right now. Jesus, we thank you for your promise that if we ask, that you will answer. That as we come before you, asking you, Lord, for your wisdom, that you would show us that wisdom, that you would give us your promise for the situation, that you would help us see beyond what's in front of us, that we would only see you and your promises today. So Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. And we ask, Lord, that you would come and send us forth now for the day and the week ahead. We ask, Lord, that you would clothe us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint us, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us with your power, that you would fill us with your love, that you would fill us with your joy, that you would fill us with your presence. if we go back to school this week, if we go back to work, if we go back to our neighborhoods or whatever you are calling us to do, that, Lord, we don't want to go without you. That, Lord, you go before us. You prepare the way. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this precious time together. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us even as we leave from here. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We will see you again next Sunday at 11:15.